ready? Here we go.
The Hit Breakfast Show.
All right.
Australia, meet your new McCafe blend. Smooth, rich with a hint of sweet berry. It's coffee fit for an Aussie.
Podcast, okay.
Podcast. All right. You know what? Welcome to the podcast, everyone. I think we need to tell the story. Can we allowed to do this? Are we allowed to tell the story of the email that's been sent to us?
Sure. Well, we just had new bathrooms opened up in our building because we're under a bit of a reno at the moment.
Yeah.
And we just had an email come out saying the new bathrooms are now ready for use. Am I allowed to say
just
who?
It names a member of staff.
A member
Let's
of
say
staff.
Alexander. We're going to call him Alexander.
Has won the first poo.
Well done, Alexander! Well done!
Have won the right to christen the toilets. Well done.
Shitting your way to the top. On you, mate.
I didn't even know there was a competition for that. Oh, I didn't mention my name.
That is 100% a game, mate. That's 100% an honour.
Hold on. And they're in the boys' toilets. I can still put my hands
off
up for the girls.
Go, run, go.
This is Guidance Gabby.
This is where you can write in with anything you need guidance on to our socials. You'll find us at Cliffo and Gabby. And a bit of a serious one has come through that I thought we'd put out there today, asking for guidance. So you can call on 131060 if you do have guidance for this person. They've chosen to be anonymous today. But the question reads, Dear Guidance Gabby, back in high school, I was a bully to one kid in particular. At the time, I knew I was doing the wrong thing, but I wanted to fit in, so I followed the crowd. Looking back, I feel terrible about what I said and did, and I really hope my actions haven't caused long-term problems for this person. I've been thinking about finding and reaching out to this person to apologize. Is that a good idea, do you think? That's a tough one. It's a really tough one because if the person who was bullied has moved on, bringing up old wounds like that.
Yeah.
Might be actually detrimental.
100%.
However, an apology might actually help heal old wounds. So,
I'm so torn on that.
I don't know.
I'm so 100% torn on what to say to that anonymous letter writer. As a guy who isn't proud of the way I treated some people in high school, but also copped a lot myself.
Would you...
That's weird, you know?
Would you appreciate a bully from your past calling you to say
sorry? I don't
think
so.
Or reaching out on Facebook to say
sorry? I ran into one once and it was awkward and weird and really uncomfortable for me as the person who was bullied by this particular person.
You just prefer to pretend like they never existed.
I wanted the whole moment. Yeah. I actually pulled up. It was at a drive-thru and he was serving me.
Oh.
And yeah, I know, right? And I just wanted it to be over. Yeah. And he was... He didn't apologize or anything. He was just like, oh, hey, Cliffo,
just
how you going?
Normal.
Like, acted like nothing ever happened. And I'm like, man, you were a jerk to me for 5 years. You made my life hell, you know? So
you'd prefer to pretend that person never existed in your life. So if they reached out to apologize, you'd be like, nah, not really.
But and I think if we all look deep within ourselves, like I think most people would have on like the shoe on the other foot too. Like there were some people that I wasn't the most pleasant to as well. I wouldn't go as far to say I was a bully. But there was some people as well, some things that I did when I was younger that I wasn't proud of. But I guess on the other hand too, if I ever saw that person, you know, what would I do?
But I think this is about reaching out though. Like you're finding the person to reach out. And my worry with this is the person wants to do it to make them feel better, not the person that was bullied feel better. Do you know what I mean? Like they feel bad about their actions and apologizing is going to make them feel better about what they did in their past. So that's not the right... way to think about it. You've got to think about what's right for the person who was bullied. So 131060, what guidance would you give to Anonymous? Should they reach out to the person they bullied years ago in high school to apologize, or should they let it lie and try to move on?
131060, I'm completely torn up with this one, hey. This guidance Gabby usually doesn't throw me like this.
And maybe people have had experience with this and they would know what they would want if it were them.
There must be people that have some solid opinions on this.
Totally.
131060, this person used to be a bully. Should they reach out and apologize or just let bygones be bygones? 131060, Joe's here. Joe, your opinion. Should the bully apologize or just let it be?
Apologize. Definitely apologize.
Okay. So have you been in a situation like this, Joe?
Yeah, look, I organised a school reunion about 5-6 years ago, and it was about 170 people there in a small town, Apollo Bay, down in Victoria. And it was just amazing to see people getting together, talking about, you know, their childhood days down there. And people were apologising for their actions. People were saying, "I'm so sorry for doing that," you know. And there was just so much relief, you know, because beforehand people were saying to me, "I'm a bit scared. Is that bully going to be there? Oh, what are they going to be like?" You know. Wow. So it was just a bit of a love fest going on, because it was just so lovely to see that being stripped away from a lot of people, and you know, how grateful they were eventually. People coming to say, "I'm sorry."
Isn't it amazing too how some of those scars had, you know,
lasted
so long?
Yeah. Incredible. Yeah, it doesn't matter how much life you do, that person is still the bully.
Still the bully,
in your
still
mind.
The person who made me feel that way.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Nikki's here on 131060. Morning, Nikki.
Morning.
What do you think, Nikki? Should the bully reach out to apologise?
I think just let it be. The past is the past. You've just got to move on and teach your own children to then not bully themselves.
Do you have personal experience with this?
Yeah, I do. So I was a bully in high school, totally regret it, realise my mistakes now. And now I'm a complete introvert, scared of what everybody else is going to think of me.
Right.
And you still don't think that apologising is the way to go?
I feel like if I was to apologise to people, I'm just doing it for myself.
Mm.
Was it one person in particular you bullied, or was it multiple people? Or
Sadly, it was multiple people, and it was the people that kind of had the friends and the relationships I wanted.
Oh, this is a jealousy thing.
It really was a jealousy thing, and I just wanted what they had, and I didn't know how to get it, and I just bullied them for it. And now I see that it's completely wrong, but I feel like if I was to then turn around and apologize to them, it's all for myself.
Mm.
Okay. It'd be interesting to hear what the bullies, I guess, had to say, the people who you did bully, you
yeah.
know, on that, Nikki. But thank you so much for being so honest.
Yeah.
That's actually really brave of you. Sam's here on 131060. Hey, Sam.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Sam. What do you think? Should the bully reach out to apologise?
Well, I've actually had a bully reach out and apologise to me.
Really?
Yes.
So this was someone from your childhood?
Yes, from high school.
Interesting. And what actually happened?
I was in shops and I ran up to them ran into them.
Mm.
And they've turned around to me and they've gone, "Look, I'm so sorry for how I treated you in high school. I really deeply regret it and I'm hoping you can forgive me."
Wow.
And was that good for you?
At first it shocked me because they were a completely different person, which was nice. And it gave me a little bit of closure.
Yeah, okay.
It was actually made me feel better as a person knowing that, you know, I still am someone that they think about because it means that I had an impact on their life.
Yeah.
What I'm kind of gaining just from the vibe of these last few calls, and this is not, I guess, how it is completely, but just from these calls, it seems like some of the bullies or people who were, you know, not proud of their actions are a bit hesitant to apologize, thinking that might not be the right thing to do. But the people who were bullied actually have gone, "No, it was good for me."
It's good growth.
Yeah.
It's a good growth opportunity to see that they've also grown up and realised their actions were wrong.
Such a yucky time, isn't it?
Oh,
adolescence,
man.
And all that. Amazing stuff, Sam. Thank you for your honesty and your story this morning, mate. Much
appreciated. No, more than happy to help.
Good on you, mate. Getting jiggy with it. Cliffo
and Gabby. Let's go. On hit. 90s Nostalgia Week this week here on Cliffo and Gabby, and the biggest movie of the 90s, Cliffo, was Jurassic Park. Still huge. We all love it.
Massive.
It was amazing, and we have managed to track down the granddaughter of the creator of Jurassic Park in the movie. Ariana Richards joins us right now. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. It's fun to be here with you guys.
It's so fun to have you on. So we do know you as Lex Murphy from Jurassic Park. It's a movie that we all grew up loving, watching, being obsessed with. What are some of your favorite memories from filming it?
Oh, wow. I mean, I've got a lot of memories. It's crazy because I guess when you go through an experience like that, filming a project of that magnitude with these people like Steven Spielberg and the whole cast and crew there, it really does stick with you. So I have a tremendous amount of memories, a lot of great ones, actually. Let's see. So I'm remembering right now, as we just kind of kicked off filming, we traveled to Kauai and went to a place that nobody but the natives had ever been allowed to set foot before. And so it was pretty difficult to get to this location where they had the electric fence set up. And it was one of the big emotional scenes for me. Actually, my first day filming was this intense emotional scene where I thought my brother was going to be dead. And I hadn't even really gotten to know him yet as a person or as a co-star. Wow. And that was really something to just jump right in there. So fortunately, I had done a few projects prior to it. So I was ready to just be professional and jump right in. But boy, that was just the beginning of the wild ride.
Mm. I remember that. It was like Timmy was going to die. Like, yeah. It's probably the most emotional scene you had in the whole movie. Crazy. Watching it, it was revolutionary.
Oh, like, yeah.
Watching those dinosaurs come to life that Steven Spielberg and all the creators sort of came up with, it was cinema like we'd never really seen before. The only thing I could compare it to was Jaws. At the time, did you have an appreciation for that? Because I'd imagine most of the acting towards the dinosaurs you would have done would have actually been to nothing, and they would have been added later.
No, actually. Contrary to popular belief, I was right there in the moment, and I can speak for this. The dinosaurs were there in the scenes with me anyway for about 80% of the time.
And so what were they?
Like robots?
Yeah,
or
robotic? Or?
Yeah, these were animatronic dinosaurs. They really did look real in the way six guys would operate all the different portions of the dinosaur. I was really taken with that as a 12-year-old, just wanting to hang out in between scenes, watching these dinosaur models and talking to Stan and learning about how they moved. And
we're talking to Ariana Richards, who played Lex Murphy in the original Jurassic Park. She was the young girl, the granddaughter in the story, the granddaughter of the creator. And confession time, Ariana. This is actually
time.
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm getting scared.
I'm actually a little bit embarrassed about this, but you were my very first crush in life.
Ooh.
You're a couple of years older than me.
Ooh.
But I was obsessed with this film and obsessed with the idea of being with Lex that I remember I even wrote a love note in a diary. Once upon a time that it's long since gone. Like, mum got rid of all this stuff years ago. But I remember it went along the lines of, like, the things that I have in common with the character of Lex. So I remember the note, diary entry said something like, we both like books. Because I remember Lex was book smart. And the other thing, we both had annoying little brothers as well. And I thought that was another thing that Lex and I could kind of
talk about.
Yeah.
But find common ground.
You were it for me, Ariana. You were it.
I love it. That is so sweet. Oh my goodness, that is fantastic. I love the story. I love that you didn't just have this idea. You actually made this list and wrote down the similarities and went through this. And I love that.
It was.
He knew
real.
He'd have to convince you. Here's a list of why we should be together.
It was. I think everyone remembers their first puppy love kind
that's
of.
Right.
Crush with the definitely. Hollywood
right. If only we had met in person at that time, you would have presented your list. Like, you were just saying, Gabby, here's the case of why we have so much in common about you.
Hope my wife's not listening right now.
Yeah, your future could have been totally different.
I'll tell you what, things are sounding pretty good, Ariana.
Before we let you go, Ariana, we also wanted to ask you about your new career as an artist. You've got your gallery there at galleryariana.com. It is phenomenal. Like, some of the paintings you've done of people are just beautiful, and the landscapes as well. Why did you go from actor to artist?
Well, you know, actually, I still love acting. And, you know, if a great project comes along, I will definitely take a look. I'd be excited to act again, and I'm sure that I will. I just also have this great love of art and of being a painter, and it runs in my family, in fact, back to the Italian Renaissance, wow, where Carlo Crivelli was a contemporary of Botticelli and his my ancestor. So it runs in the blood. I love art. And yeah, absolutely. Check out my website anytime you want to see some of what I'm up to lately. But it's a great passion of mine.
I don't know what we were expecting when we heard that you had a gallery, but Gabby put it into her browser.
I thought it would be dinosaur paintings.
We were actually blown away.
No, it was like, gorgeous.
At the stuff you've got up there. So yeah. Check it out. The gallery, it's called Gallery Ariana. GalleryAriana.com simply is the website. Ariana Richards.
It is a tongue twister.
It's a tongue twister, but check it out. I got a little bit giddy during this chat, so I'm not one to comment on tongue twisters. Gonna go and have a cold shower. I've met my first ever crush. It was really big for me. Ariana Richards, aka Lex Murphy from Jurassic Park. Big love. Thank you for your time.
Oh, that was so much fun. Okay. Bye, you guys.
This was a pretty big announcement yesterday. Hits $1 million Alpha Bucks is a thing. Gabs, one millionaire guaranteed. This
Isn't
is not
so crazy.
An in the draw thing.
Nope.
This is not
a chance,
a
to,
chance
win.
To win.
Nope.
One millionaire guaranteed. Tune in this Friday morning after 8 a.m. to find out how you can be part of Million Dollar Alpha Bucks. But to get everyone excited for it, we've gone along, producer Brooke and I, and we found a list of things you can purchase with $1 million.
Nice. So if you're the winner, these are the things you could put the money to.
Well, I feel like you say $1 million and like $1 million Alpha Bucks flies out of our mouths. But you can't fathom that actual amount of money. So
no, I thought
if we had a list of things that you can buy with $1 million, it can kind of...
makes it more real.
Remind us all just how much money $1 million actually is. Mm. So with $1 million, you would be able to buy, if you chose to, 256,410 McDonald's cheeseburgers.
That'll sustain you for a while.
6 Tesla cars.
Wow, they're expensive.
Can be bought with a lazy meal.
Mm-hmm.
Individual toilet rolls. 666,666.
Unless there's a pandemic and then you can get two.
If a shutdown, a lockdown is imminent, you can buy half of one roll with $1 million. This is an interesting one. Queensland hotel quarantine stays.
Oh, okay.
333. Now that, to me, sums up how much $1 million is, because everyone is whinging about having to, you know, quarantine and pay for their own hotel quarantine and how expensive it is.
Because it's like between $3 and $5 grand.
With $1 million, you can afford 333 hotel quarantine stays.
Wow.
8,333 Netflix yearly subscriptions.
So many Netflix and chills.
And the iPhone 12. You can buy 834 iPhone 12s with $1 million. Do you want more? There's so many. I'm going to give you one more. The list goes on and on. A cheapest house in Queensland. You could buy the cheapest house in Queensland, which is actually near Roma in our listening area. You could buy it 50 times.
Wow. You could buy 50 houses 50 with $1 million.
That's what you could buy with $1 million if you win hits $1 million Alpha Bucks.
Wow.
Do I recommend you spend $1 million on any of that stuff?
No.
No, I absolutely do not.
Smart
but
way.
It's your $1 million, so do what you will.
Well, we're truly back into the reality scheme, aren't we? Scheme? Scene. Because,
that's,
you know, maths
finished.
Scheme,
mate. It's a scam.
It's a bit of a scheme. Maths finished a while ago.
Bryce from maths, mate. He'll tell you he's been stitched right up by the scam.
But we had a bit of a break, and now it's all coming back. So Beauty and the Geek, Farm Wants a Wife, Bachelor's on its way. But Farmer Wants a Wife, it's one that I've been watching quite closely because it's one that I really liked when I was younger, back before it was full of drama. Last night, however, something really interesting happened that my mum tried to do to me a lot when I was single. And that is have the parents set you up on a date. So the boys all have their girls at the house that they're dating and trying to figure out if one is the one.
So they've all gone back to the farm.
Yeah, all the girls are at the farm with the boys. And then all of a sudden, halfway through, they're like, actually, we're going to add in another girl that mum has picked for you. So you'll have to go on this date that mum has set up. Now, one of the mums was very excited by this prospect.
Your mum has chosen another for you to meet.
I'm hoping Matt meets a girl, well, can I say, just like his mother?
Well, I want him to be with the perfect woman. So I was looking in the mirror and I went, well, that's her. Can't date my own son. Can I find one like me?
A few of the guys, though, found the women that mum picked were actually quite a good match.
Who knows their son better?
Yeah, exactly.
Than the mother.
Exactly. She wants what's best for him. So I wanted to ask a question on 131060 this morning. Has this ever happened in real life? Get away from the reality TV producing ideas. Have you been set up by your parents?
Oh, good one.
Has mum sent you on a date? Because I know, like, when I was single, as I said, my mum so many times would be like, oh, my friend Julie's son is really nice. Maybe you should go chat to him. And I'd be like, mum, quit it. No.
Look, hasn't got all worked out.
Like,
hasn't got to have ended happily ever after. Nah. In fact, if it went south, it's probably
even
a better story. But 131060, give us a call. Have you been set up by your parents?
Have you actually gone through with it?
You've actually, so what's the, like, all parents, I think, have a crack. We all relate to the story you talk about a little bit where it's like,
but majority of
son,
us
whatever.
Say, no, back it up, mum, not happening.
But has anyone crossed the threshold?
Have you followed through?
Where you've actually met, even if it was one meeting, one date that
one
was
date.
Awful, and you escaped by pretending to go to the bathroom and crawling out the little window into a dirty side alley.
Please,
or something.
If someone has that story, I'd love to know.
131060. Were you set up by your parents and you actually met the person? Oh, God. Either way, if it was a disaster or if it's happily ever after.
Both good.
Good on you, mum. Great stories. 131060. David's here. Morning, David.
How you going, mate?
Good, David. Did your parents set you up on a date?
Actually, no. I was working at Woolworths and I met a nice lady there and I was a checkout chick. And she goes, oh, you'd like my daughter. And I was like, all right, cool. And
right.
Yeah. So she set me up with her daughter and we went out on a date. And it was hilarious because the first date we went to the movie and we couldn't get to the movie we wanted to see. So we got into Monsters Ball and we didn't know anything about it. And the very first scene was a sex scene.
Yeah, it's heavy sex scene.
Ah, that's so awkward.
We were so awkward because I was only 17, so.
So how did it end, David? Did you end up together or?
We dated for like a good 3 months, eh?
That's a win.
Wow.
That's a Woolworths
good
win.
Good on your mum.
Woolworths, not just the fresh food people. I love it, David. Thank you. 131060 is our phone number. We'll go to Jess right now. Morning, Jess.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, Jess. Were you set up on a date by your parents?
I was. I went out with my mum and stepdad one night, and my mum locked eyes with this guy across the dance floor with some piercings and tattoos and thought, what a perfect guy for my daughter. So she went up to him and asked if he wanted to meet me. And we met that night and we have been together now for 9 years and married for 2.
So she didn't just set you up.
God.
She was literally your wing woman on a night out.
Absolutely, she was. She did very well.
So how did that night end? Like, did you hit it off with him straight away and then mum and dad just left you be? Or, like, what happened
that
night?
We did. So we had a bit of a dance on the dance floor, swapped numbers, and we caught up again the next night for coffee.
Oh.
And, so we kept in touch ever since and we did some big travels together. And
did you kiss on night one or?
It was night 2 we kissed. I had to save something for the next night.
Imagine kissing him on the dance floor with your parents watching from the sideline. They would have started applauding or something.
I reckon, drop the experts on maths, employ Jess's mum. Boom.
I think so. Yes. Number one.
Zoe's got a story. Zoe, what happened?
Okay, so I'm 28 and I'm in a homosexual relationship, so I'm gay. When I was 15, my mum, I guess, had a hard time, you know, coming to terms with me being gay. So she tried to get me a boyfriend and she set me up. I know, it's crazy. Try to set me up with this nurse that she met because she's a nurse. So I humoured her and I'm like, okay, I'll go out with this guy, like just on a date. Mind you, I had a girlfriend at the time.
Hang on.
It gets better.
Wow.
So I get there and I'm like, look, man, like, I'm sorry. Like, you're a nice guy, but I'm like, I'm gay. Anyway, the date ended and I went home and I found out later on that mum actually paid him $100.
Are you serious?
It was a check, though. It was a check. And apparently he didn't actually cash it in. But I don't know whether I believe that or not. But...
Oh, my God. That's the worst.
Trying to test you over.
Please tell me your mum came around and, like, saw the light.
Yeah. I mean, she now denies it ever happened. And I'm like, what?
Oh, Zoe, that's crazy.
I supported you from day one. What are you talking about, Zoe? Yeah,
exactly. Oh, my God.
Pay some dude $100? Crazy, yeah. Zoe.
Who does that, though? Anyway,
wow.
Thank you so much for sharing.
No problem, guys.
You're a legend.
Everyone in my house is absolutely loving Beauty and the Geek. Me, fiancé Nev, and puppy Bear, only because he has to. But it's just really grabbed us and made us love the feel-good vibe of it. And talking right now, we have the host, Sophie Monk. Welcome.
Thanks, guys, for having me. How's it going?
Good, man.
Really good, thanks.
What is it about the show, Sophie? Because I was the same. Like, I put it on.
Just gets you.
I put the first episode on Sunday night, and I was expecting, I guess, a bit of a maths vibe, but I don't know.
It
was warmer. It had a bit more heart, I think.
It's just so lovely to watch, isn't it? And then you've got the comedy there. Like, I laugh through every episode. I love it. Tonight's episode, I watched it and I cried, and I've seen it 3 times, and every time I watch it back, I cried again. So it's just I think it just feels gorgeous, this show.
Some of the comedy definitely comes from you too, Soph, and this is a bit that you were talking about, how you're in a bit of a Beauty and the Geek relationship yourself.
I believe that opposites can attract. Well, look what happened to me. I'm engaged to a neurological... Okay. To a neurological consultant with robots. And I don't even know what that means.
Is that why you're loving the show as well? Because it kind of reflects your laugh a little bit?
No, I'm embarrassed about myself on the show. I love everyone else.
Where did you meet your man? Like, because I'd imagine, you know, it's hard in real life for beauties and geeks to cross paths. On this show. So how did it happen for you?
I met him on an aeroplane.
Oh, that is such a good love story.
Yeah, it was like a 16-hour flight. So, yeah, and that was it. It was game over after that.
I love that. That's so adorable.
The only thing that made that story better is if you hooked up on the plane.
We made out. No. Yeah.
We're going to run with that.
Yeah.
So if we are doing 90s Nostalgia Week this week, where we're thinking all things 90s, and you were actually discovered on a 90s reality TV show called Pop Stars, what your experience on reality TV back in the 90s compared to reality TV today, what kind of differences do you see?
I think it was 2000, by the way, but...
It was 1999.
She's done her research.
Well, look at you with your facts.
You just make it into the 90s, Soph.
Exactly right. Story of my life, always slipping into the old. But it's so different. I mean, there was no real reality shows then. When I entered that show, I read it actually, the ad out of a magazine. And it was saying, you know, audition. I thought it was like an ABC special. Like, what, you know, I thought it was going to be like a 10-minute documentary. And I didn't know what it was. So... Yeah, there was no kind of reality back then. It was just like The Mole. Remember that show?
Yes.
And then they all came after. Yeah.
Sophie, the winners of Beauty and the Geek sharing, it's $500,000.
$100,000.
I just upped it for you there. It's $500,000 now. We're doing Hit's $1 million Alpha Bucks. You found, like, I'm not talking finances here because it's rude, but, I mean, you found success really, really quickly, not comparing it to anything, but I just wanted to say, what advice would you have for someone who gets really rich really quick?
Oh, see, because
I feel like I did pretty well early days and then lost all my money because you've got to put it somewhere. So, you know, I thought if it just sits in the bank, but that's when people take it. You know, so
right.
I'd invest in property.
Good on
you. Interesting.
Oh,
yeah, that's
smart.
What I wish I did. I didn't do it, though.
Oh, I thought you did do it. Okay, right. If we could turn back time, she'd be Mr. Monopoly. Yeah. So, we just think you're fantastic. Beauty and the Geek, like we said, it's just like a big warm hug. It's so fun to watch. So check it out. It's back tonight, 7:30, and Sunday night at 7 p.m. on Channel 9. Host of Beauty and the Geek, Sophie Monk. Cheers, mate. Good to chat.
Thank you, guys.
That was Cliffo and Gabby's podcast. Australia, meet your new McCafe blend. Smooth, rich with a hint of sweet berry. It's coffee fit for an Aussie.